The views and opinions expressed on The World in Crisis with John Gasser do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WJJC Radio, Whisperin' 95.1 FM, any political subdivision, or the United States Navy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We are coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, from the studios of Whisperin' 95.1 FM and WJJC 1270 AM. Get us worldwide, 365, 24/7 at WJJC.net and Whisperin951.com. Now, when you visit those two internet platforms, be sure and check out the locally produced programs page. There you'll find our World in Crisis archives. And they're the last four newest programs are there. One ages out each week, so there's always new content. There's also several programs there that are embedded that John thinks are very important for you to listen to get a good baseline as to where he's coming from with how biblical prophecy is being played out in today's world. There's also a place there for you to donate, if you so choose, to the Watchman on the Wall Ministries, remembering, of course, that 100% of every dollar goes towards purchasing additional airtime for World in Crisis. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, good evening to Commerce, Georgia, and all our internet listeners worldwide. We are privileged to have you with us each week for World in Crisis as we examine God's prophetic word and look for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is devolving into madness, and the judgment of Almighty God will descend upon it one day in the not too distant future. You have precious little time in which to make a decision between spiritual life and spiritual death. I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you might pray to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Rob?
Absolutely right, John. And you say devolving into madness. I might go a step forward and say we're already there. It's just what level of madness are we going to finally get to?
Well, I mean, here's Exhibit A. Anti-Semitism is sweeping not just this country, but the world.
Okay. The perfect example. There's a new Jeans ad out. It's a famous actress named Sydney Sweeney, and she's obviously American. She is blonde and blue-eyed, and she is a very attractive young lady.
Yeah.
And in the commercial, she talks about she has good jeans,
right,
and hers are blue.
Blue jeans.
Okay, blue jeans. Yeah, okay, got it. Well, now the far left has come out saying that she's a Nazi. Okay, she's a Nazi for saying that. However, the president of American Eagle Jeans is a Jew, first of all. That's
right.
Exhibit one.
Right.
And exhibit two is when there was actual anti-Semitism on the streets of New York and other college campuses across the country.
Correct.
They were silent or else in support of it. So
Absolutely. They
are so screwed up in their head that, like I said, you don't know what level of madness is going to get to.
Well, this is Satan at work. There's no other explanation for it. It all has its nexus in the spiritual dimension.
Yes.
As Paul declared in Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Everything that you see, ladies and gentlemen, has its origins in the spiritual dimension, whether good or bad. We are spiritual creatures, and every person drawing breath and anyone hearing my voice tonight, I have to inform you that you are combatants in a spiritual war, a spiritual conflict, which began somewhere in eternity when Satan fell and a third of the angels followed him. Then he took his rebellion into the garden. The rest, as they say, is history, Rob.
Absolutely. Speaking of history, it's always good to do the quote of the day before we get too deep into the program. It's always well received.
Apparently so, based on response. And I could find no other quote I thought was more appropriate considering a couple of the questions that have come in from Antonio Gramsci, who was a communist writing in 1935. Quote, socialism is precisely the religion that must overwhelm Christianity. In the new order, socialism will triumph by first capturing the culture via infiltration of schools, universities, churches, and the media by transforming the consciousness of society. And you're seeing this outworking right before your eyes.
Absolutely correct. And Hitler said, you give me one generation and I'll control the country. And he all but did.
Well, and would have controlled the world.
Absolutely. And they keep talking. Everybody's a Nazi to the left. They've used that term.
They're obsessed with Nazis.
Yeah, they've used that term now so that it just has no meaning when right. I hear it. I mean, that's like, you know, calling somebody a mean person.
Correct. Now, let me connect the spiritual dot here because we're not political pundits. I give a hoot in the infernal regions about politics or politicians, for that matter. In any event, socialism, the political ideologies of socialism and communism have their genesis in the pit of hell. These are political systems outworking, which in the last century alone was the proximate cause of death, either directly or indirectly, of about 200 million people. Now, get your mind around that number. Interestingly, Rob, it was Joseph Stalin who observed that one death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic.
Statistic, yes, exactly.
That's right. And so, again, relates to the spiritual struggle and conflict, which has been outgoing for over 6,000 years. Now, we are approaching a time in which Antichrist will be manifest. The church will be removed from this world. Antichrist will come forward. War of Gog and Magog, the wounding of Antichrist, his miraculous recovery, and then a false peace for 7 years between Israel and her surrounding enemies, or nations, Arab nations and so
right.
forth. And so, which will begin the most terrible period in the history of this world. The tribulation period, the judgment of Almighty God, will be poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. And at the end of that period of time, Jesus Christ will return. He will descend, and his feet will hit the Mount of Olives on the east. It splits in two, creating a fissure. The believing remnant of Jews at that time, when they see Jesus Christ, when they see the Lion of the tribe of Judah roaring out of the heavens, they will know that it was the carpenter's son after all. And they will see him, and the scripture declares they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. They will flee into that valley to be protected, and Jesus Christ will destroy all the nations that go to battle against Jerusalem, and that's every nation on the face of this round earth, according to Zechariah 12. I'll bring all nations to battle against Jerusalem. I'll make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, and all who lift it will be severely injured, though all the nations of the earth are gathered together against it. And you can see the motivation building for that conflict before your very eyes.
Absolutely. And I heard somebody the other day, I don't know, some religious talk show, saying that it was metaphoric that the blood would run, you know, 100 miles long.
Bridle deep to a horse.
Deep, and the bridle of all this sort of stuff. That was a metaphoric thing.
No.
Because there wasn't enough people on the earth to cause that much blood. But I did a little bit of research. It would take approximately 2.2 billion people to make that much blood at one time. And there's 8 billion on the planet right now.
Correct.
And it plainly says that over a quarter will be dead. So
right.
there will definitely be enough
sure.
blood. So it's not necessarily metaphoric.
No, it's literal. I would read all of that as absolutely literal. Napoleon once stood on the Mount of Megiddo and looked out across the Jezreel Valley and made the comment that all the armies of the world could maneuver here. And they could, and they will.
Yeah, they will.
Because they'll all be brought into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, into judgment, into the judgment of Almighty God. And you can see, as I noted, the motivation is already, and groundwork is already being laid.
Yes.
Now, let me take this one step further. the we track and try to document events which are leading to a one world political, one world economic, and one world religious system. The political system of Antichrist, it is my exegesis, will be underpinned by Marxist socialism.
Yes, sir.
It's the only model that provides for a ruling elite and everybody else. This will be his political system will be ideologically and philosophically underpinned by Marxist socialism. And that should be no surprise to anyone.
It should not be.
That's right. Now, for the last several weeks, and perhaps almost a month, we had to reprise the show last week for because of unforeseen circumstances with me. In any event, this is certainly a new broadcast coming into third week or middle of August. I have been talking about or discussing the issue of occult explosion in not only in this nation but across the world. We have seen an explosion of the occult, and I never got to finish this discussion about dark arts rising, the occult invasion of the last days. Now you can go back two shows and pick this up because I think we were discussing the front end, the front end of this. But the occult has moved from the fringe to the mainstream.
Yeah, they're right in the middle of everything now.
That's correct. Not long ago, activities like casting spells or consulting psychics were largely confined to the shadows. Today, they are openly woven into entertainment and media. Supernatural themes saturate popular culture, from the blockbuster movies and TV series glamorizing witchcraft and demon possession to viral social media trends like Witch Talk, a TikTok community centered on witchcraft and occult practice. Even celebrities now dabble in occult rituals, tarot card readings, and astrology, signaling how acceptable these practices have become. There was even a TV series, a mini series, entitled Lucifer. Do you remember that?
Where he was the good guy.
Where he was a good guy.
Yeah.
I mean, they portrayed him as, I mean, you know, he probably and just a little mistreated.
A lot of these occult things, they try to separate themselves by saying they're white witches, not dark witches. They'd use power for good, not for evil. But the Bible plainly says there's no demarcation. You're either a witch or you're not. And if you are, you're dealing with familiar spirits.
Right. Well, as Deuteronomy 18 declares, whoever practices such things, that is an abomination to the Lord. In fact, as far back as 1989, the late pastor Derek Prince observed that one of the major features of the end times is an explosion of the occult. This is absolutely predictable. Once seen as fringe interest, astrology and occultism are finding a global audience through podcasts and such things as noted by the Times of India. Underlying this trend is a spiritual hunger, and every person, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this old preacher very carefully. Every person is born with a spiritual void.
Yes.
Because you are born spiritually dead. We are fallen humanity. An individual is under under grace until the age of accountability, which I would place at 13. That's when a young Jewish man recites the law and becomes accountable for it. Now, if you have the mind of a five-year-old, God's going to deal with you like a five-year-old.
Right.
In any event, that spiritual void can only be filled by Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Ghost can regenerate the dead spirit. You have to be, Jesus told Nicodemus, marvel not that I say, you must be born again. Now, the Greek there is anatonin. It literally means born from above, not of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but the will of God. In fact, John 6 declares you can't even be saved unless the Spirit draws you.
Yes, so, absolutely.
And that is why, as I have mentioned any number of times here over the last few years, the Paul's admonition to his young understudy Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:1-3, that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And you are here, some of these TV preachers are espousing doctrines of devils. And it goes on to say, by the means of the hypocrisy of liars, their conscience seared as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and abstaining from meat, which God graciously gave us. Now, there he ties in the religion of environmentalism and so forth.
Yes.
But in any event, a person, and there are people out here today, I would say a lot of these people who see everybody as a Nazi, other than their very narrow, demented, and twisted social, cultural, and political views, have seared consciences. In other words,
they absolutely do. They
people
don't have a clue.
Who cannot any longer differentiate between right and wrong.
Correct.
Now, that is lethal spiritually. You cannot be saved unless you are convicted of sin. When the gospel is preached, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. When the gospel is preached, it goes in, and then the Holy Ghost will water that word, as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 3. And that at that point, a person is convicted of sin, that he's in need of a Savior, the blinders come off, and that individual can receive Jesus Christ. If you have a seared conscience and you can no longer differentiate, how are you going to get saved?
Well, the Bible plainly says that God's Spirit will not always strive with man.
Say again?
God's Spirit will not always strive with man.
Well, that's,
so
well,
you
that's
don't, right. You don't get unlimited chances.
And we don't know when that threshold is.
Correct.
What he does know is whether or not you will accept his message and his son. He knew in advance. That's what predestination is about. It's got nothing to do with these idiot Calvinists, which is heresy, in my judgment, and that is my exegesis. But God knew. He is omniscient. You were known before the foundation of the world, ladies and gentlemen. He knew who you were, and he knew who would receive the message and who would be saved. He knew who would reject the message and not be saved. Now, that doesn't make the offer one iota less bona fide. Everybody has the opportunity. As the scripture declares, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The opportunity and the invitation is there. Whether or not you accept it is your decision, and it's a bona fide offer. He just knew in advance what your decision would be. Does that make sense, Rob?
It makes sense. Yes, it does make sense.
One Washington Times report observed that young women in particular are gravitating toward modern witchcraft. That should be no surprise, by the way.
None.
Because of a lot of the emotional trauma and motivation which are inherent with women. I mean, that's just, God created them male and female from the beginning. That's it. And they were wired differently. Women are especially eager to be treated as if their depression and malaise aren't simply conditions in need of medical treatment, but real hurts, said one practitioner, explaining why some prefer spiritual remedies to clinical ones. Yes, you need a spiritual remedy, but that remedy can only be healed. You can only be healed spiritually by the Son of God. Yet, this embrace of the occult comes at a spiritual cost, and the Bible is unequivocal. Will you pick this up? I need to turn to Deuteronomy 8:2.
Yes, absolutely. The Bible plainly says that it says not to suffer a witch to live. So, witchcraft cannot be in any way shaded to be a proper and acceptable form of any type of religion. It's completely unacceptable.
That's correct, in the eyes of God. So, I'm in Deuteronomy 18, beginning at verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell or a medium or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for those nations which you shall dispossess, listen to those who practice witchcraft and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do so. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that scripture is unequivocal. There's no ambiguity there.
No.
Zero. And I think we're up against a hard break.
We are. Let's go ahead and take it. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gasser. We'll be right back. Stay with us. And welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gasser. I'm co-host Rob Jordan. We're coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, with the studios of WJJC 1270 AM and Whispering 95.1 FM. You can get us worldwide 365 24/7 at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. Now, when you check out those two internet platforms, be sure and check out the locally produced programs page, and there you'll find World in Crisis and our archives. The last four programs are there. If you listen to it, you're at your leisure. One of them ages out each week, so you do need to kind of keep and listen to it pretty frequently. There are also several programs there that are embedded that we think are important for you to listen to get the full idea of exactly where John's coming from and how things are being played out in today's headlines as far as biblical prophecy goes. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas, and America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia. Those two platforms play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the embrace of the occult comes at a spiritual cost. The Bible is unequivocal that these practices are dangerous deceptions. What the world calls a spiritual exploration, God calls evil. The spirit realm is very real, and I can testify to that from firsthand experience. In fact, I have discussed a couple of those experiences on air during the course of this ministry over the last 15 years. The occult indoctrination is also continuing in schools and institutions. In 2023 exposed a Chicago area public school program which forced students to participate in a quiet time meditation, which was essentially a Hindu spiritual ritual. Teenagers were led one by one into a dim room for a private puja worship ceremony made to chant secret mantras that were actually the names of Hindu deities, entities which are clearly demonic. That was not an isolated incident either. We find that Christian religious indoctrination has become a staple of against anti-Christian indoctrination has become a staple of government education. A few years ago in California, the State Board of Education unanimously approved an ethnic studies curriculum that shockingly had elementary school students chant prayers to Aztec gods of war and human sacrifice. These demonic entities, once worshipped with ritual cannibalism, were invoked in the name of multicultural learning. Other districts, middle schoolers were assigned to write or recite out the Islamic Shahada, or profession of faith, as an exercise, essentially guiding children to speak the creed of another religion. Federal and state governments have also been involved. U.S. Department of Education funded materials advising schools to exercise so-called get rid of so-called Christian privilege from classrooms and instead infuse curricula with traditions from the Muslim world. On an international level, the United Nations, under the leadership, I should say, of UN official Robert Mueller, admitted to a program based on the teaching of Alice Bailey. The UN is infused with some of her teachings. She was founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company and Lucis Trust. She wrote a book it provides lessons from so-called ascended masters or spirit guides, which she channeled. In other words, exactly what Deuteronomy 18 described as an abomination. And so this is the same clown who once declared in the 80s that we have an economic morass and we need a man to lead us out of it. He said, send us such a man, and be he God or devil, and we will receive him. And indeed, I suspect they will. Taken together, this paints, of course, a very troubling picture. There are clearly prophetic warnings about such things, and the rise of occultism should not be a surprise so much as a confirmation of what Scripture said would happen in the last days. The Apostle Paul, of course, wrote explicitly warning. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a huge problem across the mainline denominations today.
Yes, there is. There's this acceptance of other doors to heaven, and we know there's only one.
That's correct. Jesus Christ declared in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And that is exclusive. This creates a backlash, doesn't it, Rob? They don't want anything that is exclusive. But Jesus Christ is exclusive. But he is inclusive in that the message and offer of salvation applies to anyone who draws breath.
It's the most inclusive message that there is.
That's correct. That's precisely correct. And, of course, we have Paul's warning in 1 Thessalonians 2 that that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and then that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now, we had a question some weeks ago questioning whether Antichrist would be a man or a woman, or could it be artificial intelligence?
Yeah, AI.
You remember that?
Yes.
But let me assure you, Antichrist will be a flesh and blood man.
Let me tell you something I heard yesterday, and it was just said as an off-the-cuff remark. Nobody responded to it, but it just struck me as very odd. One of the people that I enjoy watching, as you want to call it a political pundit, fine, that's whatever. He said, what we need is an AI government.
Who said that?
I'm going to withhold that information.
Oh, okay.
I don't spoil anybody. But I'll tell you off air.
What, was it a politician?
It was a talking head.
A talking head. Now, I'm familiar with talking head. And they're filled with deception as well. Look, the calling, ladies and gentlemen, the calling card at the end of the age is spiritual deception. Now, I know I sound like a broken record, but over the last month, as I pointed out, when Jesus Christ was asked on Olivet what would be the sign, singular, of your coming and the end of the age, his immediate response was, take heed lest any man deceive you. We see these things unfolding.
John, let me ask you a quick question right
sure.
there. Take heed lest any man deceive you. Does that not indicate to you that you can be deceived?
Yes, it does.
But he was talking to the disciples who were saved, I mean, for the most part. I mean, was he saying that they could be deceived?
I think that's right. Here, look, let me characterize it this way. Paul admonished the church to be grounded in Scripture, lest you be blown about by every wind of doctrine. You can have a saved person who is not discipled, and then they start listening to messages which are incorrect, and they are not, since they're not grounded in Scripture, they can get blown up. They listen to any fool comes along and tells them, because they are human beings.
If you don't believe in something, you'll fall for anything?
Something like that. So the issue of being grounded in Scripture simply means you need to study. You need to be studied and understand clearly the foundational doctrines of the faith. That way, when you hear some false teacher or false prophet espouse something that doesn't sound right, you've got to be like the Bereans. You got to go search the Scriptures to see if these things are so.
Make sure that they're correct in their doctrine.
That's right. Now, remember, false doctrine, as the late Dave Hunt pointed out, is like rat poison. It's 98% nutritious and very tasty, but it's the 2% strychnine that'll kill you graveyard dead. So what happens is these false teachers and false prophets, they'll give you 95% truth, but wait for it, here comes the deception. And they'll change the message just slightly, but you wind up with another Jesus. You wind up with another gospel. You wind up with something that will not save you. I warn you in advance. We see these things, this spiritual occult explosion happening right before our eyes. People rejecting biblical truth in favor of spiritual lies packaged in appealing forms, whether it's spirit guides and meditation, a witchy spell, all these sorts of things. The Bible portrays such conduct as evil, a moral and spiritual polarization occurring as history nears its climax. Evil men will grow more evil while the righteous grow more holy. Cross-reference Revelation 22:11. A parting of ways between light and darkness. And you can, Rob, you can see this happening right before your eyes. The separation of the sheep and the goats, if you will. That polarization is occurring now. Many people are growing bolder in their rejection of God's ways, celebrating witchcraft and rebellion and so forth. On the flip side, there's a remnant of faithful believers who are drawing closer to God. Society's norms, which once provided a veneer of Judeo-Christian morality, no longer restrain behavior. And we can see that in spades.
Absolutely. Everywhere you look.
Right. So what is happening is that the world is being reconditioned and prepared for the ultimate deception, that is the kingdom of Antichrist. That's why this matters. Why does the rise of occultism matter in a prophetic sense? Because it is conditioning the world to accept the ultimate spiritual deception coming under the reign of Antichrist. The Bible warns that a charismatic leader empowered and inspired by Satan will one day deceive humanity. There will be false signs and lying wonders. This man will indwell the Antichrist, just like he indwelt Judas.
Yes.
In Luke 22. Revelation declares declares unequivocally that it is the dragon that gives Antichrist his great, and once he recovers from what should be a mortal head wound, I suspect by a small caliber weapon, just like Bobby Kennedy, but he miraculously recovers. He does not die. And the scripture declares, who is like unto the beast,
and who can make war against him?
The rhetorical answer is clearly no one on this earth. They find out they can't stop him, and they also find out they can't kill him. Only Jesus Christ can deal with the Antichrist and the false prophet. Daniel 8:23 states that a king shall arise who understands sinister schemes, and when that will occur, when the transgressors have reached their fullness. That, ladies and gentlemen, I would call a prophetic marker. We're witnessing the final pieces fall into place as witchcraft and dark spiritual practices become mainstream. Humanity's collective rebellion is nearing a tipping point. And with that, the restraining force that has long held back the worst of evil is steadily being withdrawn. Now, the Holy Ghost, the restraint of the Holy Ghost is removed fully at the time of the rapture. Paul makes that clear. When the church is removed, simultaneously, the restraint of the Holy Ghost against the worst of evil is also taken out of the way.
And so that exponentially increases the horribleness of it.
By orders of magnitude.
Yeah, I can't imagine how much it would be.
No, you can't get your mind around what will occur during that period of time.
Yeah.
I can only suggest that it will make Nazi Germany look like a Sunday school picnic.
Yes, sir.
The Bible speaks of a restrainer that currently holds back the man of lawlessness and, of course, the worst of evil. The Holy Ghost indwells the church. When the church is taken out, removed by Jesus Christ, the restraint of the Holy Ghost is also removed at that
time. Now, the Holy Ghost is taken out. The Holy Ghost is out working now, but he indwells people. So when the people are taken out, part of the Holy Ghost is taken out. You're saying that the Holy Ghost that is out working will also be taken out.
Well,
it will all be gone.
Now, let me clarify. The Holy Ghost indwells the church. When the church is removed in the rapture, the Holy Ghost obviously goes with them because they're indwelt.
Correct.
However, the scripture says he's taken out of the way. People will still be saved. Right now, the ministry of the Holy Ghost is universal. Once the church is removed, it returns to the way he operated in Old Testament times under the canon of law,
mm-hmm.
because you have to complete the last 7 years of history under to complete the economy of law.
Just the one-on-one type law. Thing.
And he, that's right. He worked individually with individuals selected dealt with people individually during that period of time. Same thing will happen during the tribulation period. His ministry will not be universal. It will be selective. But you have to have the presence of the Holy Ghost to be saved.
Gotcha.
Now, but in that period of time, understand, this is why Jesus declared, in that day, you have to be faithful unto death. So you become a believer, but you can't take the mark of the beast. You can't worship his image, and you have to be faithful unto martyrdom, unto death, in order, just like Rahab hid the spies and put a scarlet thread out the window. They would have killed her if they had found out.
Right.
And so when Joshua took the city of Jericho, her family was spared. She was not harmed in any way. They took care of her. The same thing here. During the tribulation period, a person who comes to faith still has to evidence his faith, and that unto death.
Absolutely.
Now, I think we're up against a hard break.
We are. Let's go ahead and take it. You're listening to World in Crisis with John Gasser. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. Hello, and welcome back to World in Crisis with John Gassert. I'm co-host Rob Jordan, coming to you from Commerce, Georgia, in the studios of Whispering 95.1 FM, WJJC 1270 AM. You can get us worldwide 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at WJJC.net and Whispering951.com. And make sure you check out the locally produced programs page on those two platforms, and you'll find our World in Crisis archives. There's lots of good content there that we feel is necessary for you to listen to, plus the most recent of our four programs are there for you to listen to at your leisure as well. We'd also like to welcome our listeners at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, and Leading Edge Radio out of Dallas, Texas. They play the program at different times of the day and different days of the week. So wherever you are and whenever you're listening, welcome to World in Crisis with John Gasser. John?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, what we see now is a foreshadow of such in terms of a cult explosion. Society progressively pushes God out and welcomes occult influences. It will get much, much darker, especially once Christ takes the church out of this world and the restraint of the Holy Ghost is wholly lifted.
You're right on the edge of it now. You're not even really experiencing it at all.
That's precisely right. Jesus warned that false prophets and false messiahs would perform great signs to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Matthew 24:24. The current climate of occult fascination conditioned people to be mesmerized by such false miracles. And indeed, they will be. As a matter of fact, Paul describes in 1 Thessalonians 2 how that God will send strong delusion that they might believe a lie.
Yeah.
He will give them over to judgment. The normalization of dark arts is certainly a harbinger that we are nearing the time of accountability. Yet in God's mercy, he is also warning and calling people out of these deceptions before it's too late, and that through itinerant preachers like me. You better listen, because God has declared it in advance. And do not get tied up. Don't go see Sister Marie for advice. That's no different than Saul going to the witch in Endor to try to find out what was going to happen in battle the next day. And what he
That's
found
right.
out was...
No tarot cards in your future.
Right. And what he found out was he was going to die. At least physically, and that, because that's what Daniel. That's what Samuel told him. In any event, we're called to discernment and hope, because these are sobering trends. But what is the believer's response? Well, first, don't panic, don't lose hope. Jesus Christ is still sovereign in
yes.
this world. Now, the next topic I'm going to take up has to do with the apostasy and apostasy in the church. Because the devil is a very clever fellow. In any event, you'll want to stay tuned for that discussion. We'll probably start it in this episode, but I doubt I'll be able to complete that discussion. So Christians are called to stay alert, grounded in Scripture. The Apostle Paul exhorted believers to, quote, and this is from Ephesians 6, 10, and 11, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so we can stand against the schemes of the devil. This is a spiritual war, ladies and gentlemen. It is a spiritual struggle at its nexus. And of course, Paul warned that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual principalities and wickedness. Rather than flirt with trendy occult practices, the individual should heed the Bible's command to have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, Ephesians 5:11. Reject such things as the Ouija board, the horoscope, crystal healing. No matter how fashionable or stylish, choose the light of God's word, cross-reference Psalm 119. Crucially, we must remember that God's power far exceeds the power of the occult. As Dean Dower writes, although many people are drawn to it, these occult powers are impotent before God. The spirit world is real, but not all of it is innocent. Dark, demonic, and destructive forces inhabit it, ready to deceive the unsuspecting. What an important reminder that we do not need to fear the darkness if we're walking in the light of Christ. This same Jesus who cast out demons with a word and who triumphed over Satan at the cross lives in us by his Spirit. As John 4:4 declares, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You do not have to fear. Finally, as the world grows darker, the church must shine brighter. We must contend for the faith, as Jude 1:3 declares. Intercede in prayer for our communities. Uphold the gospel with boldness and grace. Each of us should examine our heart and throw off any occult influence or fascination that may have crept in. Cross-reference Acts 19. In conclusion, the rise of occultism in our day is a fulfillment of God's prophecy and a flashing warning light on the prophetic timeline. The hour is very late, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, very late.
It also reminds us that God's redemptive plan is right on schedule. Rather than overcome with fear, be overcome. Let us take it as a call to draw nearer to Christ and rely on the power of God's Holy Spirit. We're urged to be sober-minded and watchful, knowing our adversary, the devil, prowls, 1 Peter 5:8. Yet we do so with the unshakable hope that God's peace will soon crush Satan under your feet, Romans 16. The question for you is, are you rapture ready?
That's the only question that really matters.
And that tied to your salvation. Are you saved tonight? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ so as to be saved? That is the only question any individual ever has to answer. It's the defining question of history as Jesus posed it to Peter. Who do you say that I am? Salvation is not collective. It is individual. You have to come to him, not on your terms, but his terms. That means with the simple faith of a child. And if you cry out, I can promise that he will save you, that he will provide that eternal peace and security that all of us so desperately seek. He paid the eternal penalty for sin on the cross. And with his resurrection, he took power. All power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to try to start this discussion. Paul said that day, when that term in 1 Thessalonians, that phrase is always related to the day of the Lord, the period of our time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation period. And he said that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first. A definite article before the word. It comes from the Greek apostasia, which literally means a rejection of known truth of and about God. One of the most fascinating stories you'll ever hear, it has direct bearing on our modern church world the way it is, basically sinking into quicksand of apostasy. Noah Hutchins of Southwest Radio Church, Paul Smith, Calvary Chapel, and other ministry leaders have always been faithful to Scripture. Their fealty to Scripture kept them from hobnobbing with elites who have compromised somewhere down the line. It brought them fame, fortune, and adulation, but at the end of the day, it will cost them eternally. And we need to be thankful for a faithful, believing remnant. God always has a remnant. Just like when Isaiah was pleading with God against Israel, and Elijah was pleading with God against Israel,
right.
And God told him, but there are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. He always has a faithful, believing remnant. It is vital to know history so we can understand where we are now and where we might be going. Prophecy gives us a general idea, but knowing where we came from, both in antiquity and in the last couple of hundred years, helps us navigate the waters we're sailing through presently. And to some extent, this is uncharted territory.
Yes.
And we can see that outworking in the world before our eyes. The basic premise here is looking at the theological damage wrought by false teachers which infected our seminaries and later national ministries. The foundation of our origins explain a lot. A few have stood fast on the Bible's accounts of origins as outlined in Genesis. The erosion of biblical truth in our country started long ago. In the middle of the 19th century, a perfect storm of attacks on the Bible came from two different directions. One, modern science, and two, German seminaries, Rob,
yes,
employing
sir.
Unbelieving professors. Now, in the 1880s, the progressive seminaries in Germany abandoned the literal interpretation of Scripture in favor of allegory. The Jew
yes.
became a Christ killer, and the spiritual fruit from all that nonsense was later born in places like Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen and Sobibor, the death camps of Nazi Germany. By unbelieving, I mean that they professed to be Christians, but within the walls of seminaries, they kept a dirty little secret. Faculty turned out pastors to believe that much of the Old Testament was a myth, that Exodus never happened. David and Goliath, Jonah, the great fish, and Noah's flood especially never happened, but were Hebrew legend.
Yes.
That, in other words, they made God's word out to be a lie.
Yeah, it was just a storybook.
That's right. By 1902, German professor Friedrich Delzich gave a lecture in Berlin titled Babylon and the Bible, in which he claimed that much of the Bible was influenced by Babylonian myth as opposed to truth, which is exactly the opposite. Rob, even the Kaiser attended this lecture. Princeton's brilliant defender of the faith and Bible, Robert Dick Wilson, challenged Delitzsch's brutal attack on the Bible. Yet most people wanted to follow the German pagan masquerading as a man of the cloth. It was in this era that so-called science falsely blended with the clergy to promote and market evolutionary theory.
Yes.
That is, Darwin's philosophy, and then exporting it to America. By the time of the infamous Scopes monkey trial, evolution had gained a foothold in America, and its domination was complete by the 1960s. School prayer was out. Most and more members of the clergy capitulated and did not stand strong on the biblical accounts. Let me emphatically state that Darwinian philosophy is just that. It's philosophical musings. It is not settled science, but rather comes from the anti-God bias of Europe during the Enlightenment. It is nothing more than a philosophy. Now, let me tell you what really cuts the knees out from under evolution. It's the first and second laws of thermodynamics. Because in a closed system, you have increasing entropy. There is less and less energy available for work. In a closed system, things wind down and die. They wind down and rust. They decay. In order for evolution to be true, you would have to have just the opposite. You would have to have increasing energy available for work and to change the species. In fact, we find that to be exactly the opposite. It's a lie. It's a lie out of the pit. Point two is that your flesh, your body, is the hardware, but DNA is the fingerprint of God, because every creature was created after its own kind, and it has particular and distinct DNA. A
right.
dog is a dog, a horse is a horse, and so forth. Man is man. You can't be changed. A man can't be changed to a woman. A woman can't be changed to a man. If somebody murders you and we find your body 5 years from now out in the woods somewhere, the mitochondrial DNA is going to tell us you're either male or female.
I don't care what kind of surgery, no question about it.
Don't matter how many operations you've had.
It doesn't matter. No hormones, any kind of treatments. In the beginning, he created them male and female. And I know we're up against probably final thought there, sir. He's wiggling and squirming, ladies and gentlemen. So next week, we'll pick up this discussion. I also want to point out that in the not-too-distant future, Allah is about to lose his Akbar. You want to stay tuned for that discussion. My final thoughts for this episode come from the writer to the Book of Acts, for the Book of Acts, beginning at verse 11. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. That would be Jesus Christ. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You cannot come to the Father but by the Son. I beg you, I plead with you this very night that you would pray to receive the Lord Jesus into your heart and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that you might be saved and pass from death to life and life eternal. Do not play Russian roulette with eternity. May the Lord richly bless you.
And for John Gassert, I'm Rob Jordan. Until next time, thanks for listening.